The second scripture reading this morning is from Philippians 2, 5 through 9. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Well, today is Palm Sunday, and I was given notice that I would be speaking on Palm Sunday a couple months ago. And I had a lot of my presentation prepared, and then three, four weeks ago, Dave got not well and called me at 8 o'clock the night before, so I used up most of that information, so I started over again. Palm Sunday is the beginning of Passion Week. And it is the middle of history. It is what all the Old Testament looked forward to, and is what we look back to, the cross. And as we look at the entrance of the Lord into Jerusalem, which marks the beginning of that, we do that with palm branches. And we don't have any palm branches today, but we have some beautiful palm banners that Sherilyn made for us that look so lovely. And if we do have palm branches, maybe I don't know where they're at. Okay. Afterwards, great. So the work of Christ on the cross is the central point of all of history. All of the scripture looks toward that. And it took place during the week of the Passover. And in fact, today, for those who follow the Jewish faith, this is Passover. And Passover on the Jewish calendar started yesterday at sundown, and it runs all the way through sundown today. The Passover was the commemoration of the Jews. What started that was the Jews being passed over by the death angel in Egypt. And every house that killed a lamb and sprinkled the blood over the doorposts was spared. And this is analogous also to the coming Christ, who is the Lamb of God. So the Passover was the beginning of the nation of Israel and was how they believed in Yahweh. So this week coming up, I'm going to kind of summarize what that Passion Week was about. The week before the cross included many prominent events in the life of Christ. He taught at the temple, and he gave many parables while doing so during that week. He threw the money changers out of the temple. The money changers were the guys that set up their tables, and it was one of the things that they thought was particularly bad, what Christ thought was terrible. They would sell doves or sacrificial animals, and they would make a profit on it. And the Pharisees would make money on that. Christ did not want to see them making money on the sacrifices. He was the God-man. He must have been a big, strong guy. And he threw all those people out of the temple. He did that during the week. He prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem, which was coming, because they rejected him. He gave the Olivet Discourse on the Mount of Olives, and that was the prophecy of the millennium, the 1,000 years of his earthly reign, which was to come. Of course, we had Good Friday. That's when he went to the cross. And again, that day started the Passover celebrations started at sundown, and they met for the Last Supper at sundown, we started the Passover. The Galileans, Christ and all the disciples in the upper room, were from Galilee, and they celebrated the Passover right as it began. The Judeans, their tradition was to do it the next day. So Christ was instituting the Eucharist, which we now follow, during the time of the Passover meal. He established that traditional Passover meal, that ceremony that we still follow, by replacing the lamb with unleavened bread and unfermented juice, of the juice of the grape, which was presented as in place of the sacrificial lamb. So he instituted that, and his command was, do this in remembrance of me. He initiated the new ritual and mandated it to all the church to regularly celebrate the Eucharist, which we do. Eating the bread represents faith in the spotless Lamb of God, the impeccable humanity of Christ who bore our sins on the cross. And drinking of the cup represents his substitutionary spiritual death on the cross. All these things he was teaching during the Last Supper. And the Upper Room Discourse, which we talked about last time I was here, was his final instructions to the disciples. And if you read that in John 13 to John 17, you can realize that they're a little bit confused. They're not quite clued in on what's coming. I can't really blame them. It's a lot going on in their lives, but it would become clear as they went forward in their next months. These things that we talked about, some of you might remember those. He gave the disciples this: these things you will be blessed if you do them. Name your sins. He used the foot washing analogy. Forgive others. Pay attention. Learn. Love one another. The Lord reveals to the disciples that he will be with them just a bit longer, and introduces a very significant divine resource with a new mandate to love one another. He said, acquire humility. God is opposed to the proud. He said, you're saved through Jesus Christ. Do not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. He told the disciples to be extraordinary. He said, you will do greater works than these as I go to my Father. He said, use the power of prayer. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Obey God's mandates. Recall by means of the Holy Spirit. He taught about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit, and at Pentecost, the blessings that will come with the Holy Spirit, which we all have. Be confident. Christ is alive and will return. And have God's peace. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. So, those are some of the things that were going on. Those were what was going on. Very important. But we look at the ride. Let's look at the ride to the cross. What we're really looking at and celebrating on Palm Sunday. And we start out in Zechariah 9:9. Zechariah was a prophet during the rebuilding of the second temple after it was destroyed. The Babylonian captivity, and he was a prophet sent back during that time. And he said, Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. This was a prophecy 500 years before the cross, and it was fulfilled as we read in our first scripture lesson in John. And there's some interesting things about the fact that he came in on an ass, on a donkey. Why are you untying the colt? The Lord has need of them. He knew that we needed to fulfill a prophecy. He also knew where he was going. And here was the God-man, the most humble person ever. If you look in Philippians 2, he's a humble servant. He was here to serve us. Actually, it's not a servant. He was a slave. He was the God-man, but yet he obeyed the Father's plan. He didn't go around committing miracles that weren't a part of the plan. The miracles he used were only to identify himself as the Messiah, so people could see who he was. They saddled up this colt and put the Lord on it. If he is the God-man, why is he not riding a white charger, which is what generals would do and great leaders at the time? But he was on the colt, which obeyed him, mind the way, had never been ridden. The animal kingdom knew he was Lord, and he sat on that colt, and they rode into town. But he wasn't there. He wasn't there on that colt going into Jerusalem to become the conquering hero at this time. He was going into Jerusalem for this final week to go to the cross. The cross before the crown. And was going there to pay for all of our sins. So, he wasn't coming in as the conquering king. He rode in on the donkey. In Philippians 2, which we also heard, the humility of Christ. Philippians 2 is one of the four great Christological passages in the Bible. John 1, Philippians 2, Colossians 1, Hebrews 1. And it talks in that, I recommend reading Philippians 2, it talks about how he knew he was sent to serve and to follow the Father's plan. The humility that he showed was shown on that horse. So, what's going on with this scene? The disciples and Christ are in Bethany. And Bethany is a suburb of Jerusalem. It's about 2 miles away, east of Jerusalem. It'd be like being out at the Headlands. And they got this donkey. The disciples got the donkey. They rode into Jerusalem. And the disciples and all the throng that was following were throwing their coats down on the pathway as he ran in, or as he rode in. And they were yelling, "Hosanna," and "Blessed be the Messiah," and "Blessed be the King who is coming." And they did that going all the way into Jerusalem. They had to go over the Mount of Olives and then into the gates on the east side of Jerusalem. And as they showed up going over the Mount of Olives with this big throng, all the people that were in Jerusalem for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which led up to the Passover was coming, they heard this. And they left Jerusalem to meet this throng, and they brought the palm branches. They were throwing branches down because they were out of garments. You know, we gotta have more. And as he rode into Jerusalem, they met the crowds that were there, and he had the triumphal entrance into the city and went into the temple. However, there were those who were of the religious leaders who silently disapproved. Luke 19:39. He was coming in to liberate the people from the tyranny of the old sin nature and sin and to provide salvation, the cross before the crown. By the end of the week, these same crowds would be shouting, "Crucify him." And the evening after the late supper, as you know, betrayed. It was still the Passover, and he was betrayed and went to 6 trials and went to the cross for 6 hours. And the first 3 hours was agony. The second 3 hours was darkness. And God the Father created darkness so people wouldn't have to see his agony. And it was during those 3 hours that all the sins of mankind were imputed to Christ on the cross and judged. Nothing we could encounter would be as painful as the spiritual death of Christ. And when it was done, he said, "It is finished." He had accomplished the task. And he went into the grave. He gave up his spirit. He did not get killed on the cross. When his mission was accomplished, he gave up his spirit. And what we want to do is set up this scene for Dave next week to talk about the resurrection when he comes back. So, I've looked at where this all started. Started with the Passover, was prophesied by many of the prophets in the Old Testament, was fulfilled by the life of Christ, went through the week, left us many instructions, went to the cross, changed the ritual to the communion that we now have, and he went into the grave. And we now know from further writing that it is a glorious finish when he is resurrected 3 days later. So that's the story of the palm branches and the ride into Jerusalem. And with that, I'd like to end in prayer. Father, we thank you for your scripture that helps us to learn what went on so many years ago, 2,025 years ago, that is still so relevant today. We thank you that we can learn from this. We thank you that we can believe in you and have salvation. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And we thank you that we can continue to grow in knowledge of Christ and to live in your grace. Through Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is "The Church's One Foundation," page 277.